The first Sunday of every year is special to this congregation, and to receive a special admonition and encouragement, we always ask Dr. Larry Smith to bring us the message. Larry and I have been fellow ministers of this church for a long time. We had two periods. I date them by the pre-Hurricane Ike period, and unfortunately he was blown off the island all the way to Austin, and then we have the period when he saw the light and returned to Galveston from Austin, and so we have served for more years than I can calculate. We're a great team. He brings unique abilities and learning to this congregation, including not only his experiences as a national speaker on ethics and counseling, but also a great Bible knowledge and ability to communicate. Larry, we're glad to have the first Sunday come around and hear your words.
Alan, as always, thank you for your generosity. I really appreciate it. And yeah, it was 2001. And we forged this relationship in 2001, so 16 years with a three-year interlude to Austin. But as always, there's a personal affinity I have for Alan because he offered me an opportunity that not really knowing who I was and what I'd done, but what he did was took the word of his sister, who was a good friend of mine in California, and we worked together on many projects in California, and I really appreciate that, Ellen. Again, this is the first of the year, and I find this time so very, very refreshing because it gives us an opportunity to breathe for a moment, an opportunity to think back of the year that's passed and think forward to the year that's coming and it's about to begin. And what we can do with that is use it as a marker. And hopefully everyone has a copy of a little form I passed out. Well, Inez and her crew passed out. A little form says, check your ministry gauges. Does anyone not have a copy? Okay, let me very briefly go through this before we get into the message. This is for you to do at home, at law, or alone, or with someone else, to actually check where you are in terms of serving God. To do a self-evaluation where in the time you spend in serving God, in the commitment you make in serving God and His church, and the enthusiasm. And it's a self-appraisal that each of us can do to look at where we are to see where we need to be. And you'll see a little warning signs at the bottom, warning, encourage, help, or appreciate, and you'll be able to mark that yourself. On the back side, it says Broadway Church of Christ Service Project Calendar, and this will become more useful to you as the lesson goes on. And the preamble for the message is serving God by serving others. And that'll be our lesson for today. Serving God by serving others. And it's to measure what each one of us does in terms of serving God by serving others. And if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to let me know. You have a calendar on the back. You can mark in little things that you've done or the things you'd like to do. But it's just a little wish sheet for you to keep at home on a refrigerator or someplace to be a reminder that ours is to continually serve God. To continually serve God. Now, let me share this question. How many of you think that God has done something for you? To be unanimous. Now, how many of you know what you've done for God? How many of you want to improve what you've done for God? Good. We're on the same road here, and we should travel this lesson together. You should have this self-evaluation form and handout and do it at home. It's just for reflection. Life is full of beginnings, and the first of every year presents us with this recognizable marker to start the new year and to begin a new process. We tend to always make lists. So let's use this sheet to make lists in terms of how much we want to serve God and what we've done in terms of serving God for this year. I'm sure most of you are familiar to my lesson today. Most of you are familiar with the painting of Jesus standing at a door, an old beaten door with a candle, with a lantern. And he's knocking on a door. This is from a painting by William Holman in 1851, and the title of it is The Light of the World. Jesus standing at this door with this light. And you'll notice if you ever look at that picture, is that there are no handles on the door. And Holden left that omission purposely. This is an allegorical painting. It tells a story. It represents the figure of Jesus knocking on a large door with no handle, meaning the door represents the human heart and mind, and it can only be opened from the inside. So with Jesus standing there knocking on the door, it can only be opened from the inside. The heart and the mind of the person whose heart he's knocking on. Revelations 3:20 says that here Jesus stated, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Saying here in some translations says, "I will sup with that person. I will spend time with that person and they with me." Most of us here today accept it. That invitation and became Christians. Most of us have done that. I'd like to take this opportunity now to encourage us to renew and sustain that first opening of our hearts to Jesus Christ. That first opening to the hearts of Christ for this new year and beyond. I want you to renew that feeling. Who was present? Go back to that time. And we'll move from there to where you are today. My prayer is with the zeal and commitment, we as a body of believers can adopt the goal of servanthood for this new year. Servanthood for Broadway Church of Christ. Our reference text will come from John 13, 1 through 17, and Matthew 25, 31 through 40. Take a mental journey with me, if you will, without looking up the text. Take a mental journey with me. John chapter 13. We're in downtown Jerusalem, all of us, in an upper room. The atmosphere is charged with anticipation. A New Year's type of excitement fills the air. All of us are present there, with Jesus, the apostles. The whole week itself has been exciting. It began with a triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, with people singing hosannas. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel, is the chant that's heard. Those who had witnessed Jesus raise Lazarus were still testifying about this miraculous event. Scripture tells us that so much so that many Jews believed in Jesus as a result of the act with Lazarus. The Greeks also wanted to know more about Jesus. At the Passover meal, two of the apostles, along with their mother, asked for places of leadership with Jesus when Jesus becomes king. They wanted leadership positions. Luke tells us that this led to a dispute around the table that night about who was to be the greatest in the kingdom. Many in the room were looking for a throne. Many in that room except Jesus. So what did Jesus do? He picks up a towel and a wash basin, making himself a servant to all those present. All those having illusions of grandeur, of being great in the kingdom. But what did Jesus do? Who truly was great. He picked up a towel and a wash basin. He submits to those present and serves them by, one, washing the feet of the apostles. The incarnate God was washing feet, acting as a servant. Yes, our Savior was and is a servant. And if we want to model the behavior of Jesus, our goal must be to be a servant, not one being served. That night, Jesus instructed his disciples, just as he continues to wash, to teach us to be servants. He did so in John 13, 12 through 17. What he said was, when he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he asked, do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Know that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you will do them. Be a servant. Jesus' agenda must become our agenda, being a servant. Remember, he said, I came not to be served, not to serve, but to serve. We're to cultivate his attitude, his disposition, and his behavior. Cultivate the attitude of Jesus, the disposition of Jesus, and the behavior of Jesus as a goal for this year, using today as a marker. May I share this with you? I believe serving others is a salvation issue. We're here to become like Jesus, are we not? That means we're here to wash feet. We're here to serve, not to be served. Do we have a scriptural basis for such a statement? I believe so. We have Jesus saying, I came not to be served, but to serve. You should do as I have done. Paul tells us we are to bear one another's burden. John 1:27 reads, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Peter says, be hospitable to everyone and to one another. The Hebrews, book of Hebrew writer, tells us some have entertained angels, served angels unaware by being hospitable to strangers. It gives us a blueprint of how we are to comport ourselves as Christians. Philippians 2 tells us that we are to place the needs and interests of others before our own. So contrary to the world, because the world teaches us to get all we can for self. Jesus teaches us to extend ourselves and be servants to the world. Extend ourselves to others so that they will know the comportment of a Christian, what it is to be a Christian. Paul sums it up here in Galatians 6 and 10. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong in the family of believers. In the family of believers, especially those. You see, many times we try to influence family members and friends to become part of the church and come and join us for service. And then they hear us talking about people that are part of the service and part of the church, disparagingly talking about people. And family and friends say, if that's what it is to be a Christian, that's what I'm already doing. Why should I go and become a Christian? See, When we mimic the world watches us to see what it is to be a Christian. Whether we want it or not, we're always on display. And it is our responsibility to know that we represent Jesus Christ in every encounter we have. When we walk around and profess that we are part of the body of Christ. So with these thoughts in mind, let me propose that 2018 become our year of service at Broadway. Finding ways to serve the community. Finding ways to serve each other. Finding ways to be of service. Agents of service. Let's allow the attitude of serving, one that cause Jesus to wash feet, doing good to others, permeate who we are and how Galveston and beyond will recognize Broadway. It's through the level of service that we extend to others. Let me also suggest that serving others become our mission statement for this year. Mission statement for this year is to serve as many people as we possibly can with every fiber of our being. With all the resources available to us. Can we do that? I believe we can. During 2018, can we become more like Jesus? Okay, let's see what genuine biblical servanthood looks like. First, servanthood requires a shift in our thinking, a new and more proactive attitude toward service. Not a laissez-faire attitude, well, if it happens, if somebody walk in the door, then we'll give them a meal. But a more proactive, going out and extending ourselves beyond our doors. It's as simple as, if we're going to be servants, we must think like a servant. Here it is, folks. At all times, God is more interested in why we do something than what we do. The motivation, why we do what we do, as opposed to what we do. Attitude is more important than achievement. We are to do right things with right motives. And the right motive is to please God, to be representatives of God here on earth. To follow the modeling that Jesus laid out for us. It just becomes a matter of will. The plan is already there and has been here for all these many years. The plan of servanthood, the plan of a closer allegiance and a closeness with God has always been here. But we nibble at the edges. Rather than going all out to be servants. Attitude and motive are significant components of our walk with the Lord. Our attitude, not for acclaim, not for recognition, not to be noticed, quietly, patiently, tending to the needs of those in need. Jesus says that doing our religion out of the wrong motives, to be seen by others or to be applauded by others, gains us nothing but cheap recognition. It's not real. It may be self-satisfying, but it's insatiable. You can't get enough of that. So you will continue to do that and not be able to actually do the things that God wants you to do out of the right motives. We read in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7, if I speak in the tongues of men or in angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Just making a lot of noise. No tune, a lot of noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but does not have the love, I have nothing. The linchpin you'll find here is always love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. Does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's a marker we need to all make sure we are clear on. When someone has wronged you, to keep that record of trying to get even is against God and all he stands for. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Genuine servanthood, genuine religion, genuine worship and service to God must come from the proper motive, and that is love and loyalty to Jesus Christ. The motive, love and loyalty to Jesus Christ. If that is our motive, our actions will be complementary. We'll follow suit. Folks, we're going to have the word servanthood describe us in the coming year. We'll have to start thinking about Jesus who came not to be served, not to climb ladders, but to serve, to actually wash feet. And the idea of Jesus washing feet is given to us as a profound lesson is in terms of helping everybody and doing whatever is necessary that the people need at that time. This brings us to our second point. Biblical servanthood begins with humility. It begins with humility. See, the Lord has a way of bringing the proud low so that they can reconnoitre and think to themselves, what is it I need to do to be in line with what Jesus would want me to do? Real servanthood is self-forgetfulness. Pride hinders servanthood. Humility enables servanthood. Biblical humility allows us to yield to God's command and submit to his will. Pride reflects on self, while humility lets us think of others before ourselves. Humility enables us to submit to one another. Our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus, made in human likeness, humbled himself and became obedient, even to death. Even the shameful death on the cross, Jesus became obedient to it. Here's the problem. We often think most of self. Indeed, humility, self-forgetfulness, and self-denial becomes a core issue in servanthood. Thirdly, servants know who they are. See, usually when people are out of step in terms of serving God and serving the church, it's because they don't know who they are. But you can easily find who you are in Christ Jesus through service. True servants know they are unconditionally loved and accepted by God's grace. You don't need brownie points. True servants know they are unconditionally loved and accepted by God's grace. So they don't have to prove their worth to themselves or to anyone else constantly. Servants know who they are secure in Jesus. You see, folks, if our identity and worth are based on our relationship with Jesus, we're free from the expectations of others. Let them think what they will. If our focus is Jesus Christ and not pleasing the crowd, let them think what they will. We're free from needing affirmation, to be affirmed, be told you're doing a great job. Our affirmation comes from above. We're free to serve others. Yes, to wash and feed as Jesus did. Servants know who and whose they are. They find security in Jesus Christ. And finally, servants are ready to serve anybody, anywhere, anytime. Jesus washed the feet of those who did not deserve having their feet washed. He washed the feet of Judas, who betrayed him. He washed the feet of Peter, who denied him. He washed the feet of Thomas, who did not believe in him. Still, Jesus was not prejudiced by him and his servant. Neither should we be. Neither should we be. Today, this morning, this new year, our song should be, "Make me a servant. Lord, make me like you. For you are a servant, make me one too. Make me a servant, do what you must. To make me a servant, Lord, make me like you." Church, we can sing this song with integrity. Can we really ask God to do what he must to make us like Jesus in this new year? I pray and I know that we can. I have every confidence that we can make Broadway a serving church this year. Not that we don't already do it, but what I'm thinking in terms of the potential of the things we can do and how we can bring others in to the fold to become servants also. And the multiplier effect of that on this community and further and beyond. I'm asking again, how important is servanthood? Is it really a salvation issue? Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, what did we do? Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did it for me." If you're here and not a child of God, please know that Jesus came to die to make your salvation possible. Possible through faith, possible through repentance, confession, and a New Testament baptism. Most of us, as children of God, our challenge this year and every year is to be about our Father's kingdom business. It's to make it a hallmark of who we are, to be about the Father's business, and that's serving Jesus in others, serving those we come in contact with and those we bring into the fold. So come, let us today commit to living like Jesus. Please stand now as we sing our song of encouragement. We have one today who's a member of the church, but he wants to fellowship with this congregation. And what we want to do is to welcome Troy to be a part of this congregation, and we have plenty of things for you to do. And if we can do anything for you, please let us know. So let's give him a hand for wanting to join this congregation.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for men of this congregation that can teach your word. Pray, Father, you help us to grow and help us to go out into the fields and bring others to know you and help us to be good examples. And pray, Father, just watch over us and guide us and continue to be with those who were mentioned this morning, sick, and pray to bring them back to much more health. And thank you for your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.